To begin the discussion, Baruch Shamar, and really the discussion of all of Pesukei de Zimra, we have to kind of analyze the fact that we have different words to describe different types of our singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Shira, to sing, the word Zimra also means to sing, but those words are very, very different. This is based upon the Sefer Rosh Schwab on Tefillah in his piece on Baruch Shamar. I want to use a little introduction that he kind of throws in the middle there to explain a little bit Shira, a little bit Zimra. The Gemara in Shabbos describing the word shir, Gemara in Shabbos daf nun alef amud beis, describes the word shir as it relates to being like a leash around an animal. A leash connects the animal to the owner. And similarly, when we have shir and we sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shir allows us to attach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. We're becoming one with him. We're going in the same direction. When you have someone with a leash, they pull the other one along to go in the same direction, to be together. That's what Shir does for us as well. Zimra is something very, very different. To be Zomer means to prune. Anyone here who has any experience at all with gardens, so you prune a tree means you cut some branches off of a tree because it needs to grow better. Maybe it doesn't get enough water and you have to allow it to have less branches to slow it down. Maybe some just branches are dead weight and killing the tree. You cut the pieces off in order to allow the growth to work better. How is that connected to Pesukei de Zimra? We're singing, we're saying Pesukim, literally Pesukim de Zimra, Pesukim of song, we thought, but now we're saying it's really Pesukim verses of pruning. What exactly does that mean, verses of pruning? So the idea is that pruning means you cut something away that's a negative to allow the tree to grow in full blossom and full bloom. What we do when we do Pesukei de Zimra is we're trying to cut away things that distract us from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. Now, how exactly does that work? So there's a level of Hana in this world that we get by being close to Hashem. Usually when you picture a Hana, you picture pleasure and enjoyment. You picture a meal. You picture physical contact. You picture different physical things, which is how a person normally relates to the idea of pleasure, of Hana. But in reality, the greatest pleasure known to mankind is a spiritual connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we see this because in Shir HaShirim, which is written by Shlomo HaMelech, so we're discussing between two loved ones, but it's a description, it's discussing between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even while we are in this world, we don't have to wait till the next world to experience a pleasure of being close with Hashem in close proximity in Olam Haba with the Shechina and our Neshama. Even in this world, Shlomo HaMelech is describing it, which is a worldly thing, is a connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu while we are here, because that pleasure really is the greatest pleasure that man can find. Every time we search for pleasure in the world, it's really because we're trying to fill that void, that we want something to be close to us, a real hana. We just don't know where to find it. Imagine you had a hunger pang, you didn't know what was food. So you feel like you want to put something in your mouth and swallow it. See, whatever you have near you, put in your mouth and you swallow it. If we're lucky enough, we put food in our mouth. And if we're unlucky enough, we put something that can be terrible in our mouth. That's what happens when it comes for us seeking out pleasure in this world. We have a need to feel a pleasure. The greatest pleasure, the food for that need, is really a kirva of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is closest to God, is doing mitzvahs, learning his Torah, is davening to him. Sometimes, though, it's not around. We don't know what to put in our mouth to feed this yearning. I'll read you just a few lines from Rosh Schwab, who just points this out. Midavar avera tzarich adam lizbonin shana azos ena kiim totzas hachemda liyos davuk mechubar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means anytime you feel a want to fill a desire, and any moment in time when you want to enjoy something that's usher to have, you have to understand this hana that you're trying to get, it only comes from a chemda, a desire to be clinging to Hashem. V'hi rak tmura l'ratzon ha-tivi lo'oneg ha-ruchani ha-mushar. And this is just a replacement for the natural want that you have, which is to cling and to be delighting in Hashem's spirituality and connecting with Hashem through our neshama. That's what every pleasure you try to put in your body is there, because you have a void you're trying to fill and you're just putting a replacement in. And therefore, for a person to connect to Hashem, what do you have to do first? You have to lezamer, you have to prune. You have to prune and cut away the desires that do not help us connect to Hashem properly. Cut away any unnatural, more animalistic interests of ours. And that's the goal of Pesukei de Zimra. The word shir means to be mekasher u'mechaber to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shir is to connect to Hashem like a leash we had before. You go together, you are together, it's positives. And zemer is machrit v'kotzeitz. It's to cut off and to prune away things that hold us back. We have two parts of our avodas Hashem, which is a sur meira and an aseh tov. Oftentimes in life, just some examples, a person wants to, he wants to do something nicely, an aseh tov. So there's sometimes life when you have to first avoid doing bad things. You're in a bad routine, you have to stop doing bad things, then you can get to an aseh tov. Person has a relationship, it's a toxic relationship. So before he finds the right girl, he's got to finish the one relationship right now. He's got to cut that off. He's got to figure out how to be better. And when he's ready, he can now search and journey to find the aseh tov, the right partner for him. But until that happens, it's very, very challenging. It's nearly impossible to be able to have that real connection that you're looking for. Every yearning we have is because we have a deeper yearning to connect to Hashem. And when we fill it with things, it's like, again, a blind person who feels hungry, and everything he finds in his hands, he grabs and puts in his mouth. Hopefully he's figured out where his refrigerator is and doesn't go to the wrong places in his home and eat the detergent and the laundry soap. Psukei Zimra then is that rule. When we have Psukei Zimra, our job is to cut away some of the inappropriate, unnatural spiritual desires, the ones that are unnatural, that are not spiritual, that are physical. We want to get rid of those. So we're ready. When we finish Psukei Zimra, we've already pruned our tree. We're ready to approach the upcoming Brichos Kriya Shema to the Makabal the Melech in the right mindset. That is exactly how we get there. And that's why if you speak in the middle of Psukei Zimra, you kind of ruin the beautiful pruning of this tree. You're supposed to not talk at all from Brich Shamar until the ending of that bracha, which is at Yishtabach, and then you go straight afterwards to the Brichos Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema itself to take the newly trimmed us, and we're ready now to approach the next stages of our tefillah, which is Brichos Kriya Shema. Now, before we get to the actual Kriya Shema of Brichos Shamar for today, I want to talk about, does Hashem actually need our tefillah? Because why would Hashem need our tefillah? So with that in mind, Rav Schwab points out, he quotes the Gemara in Chulin, just to put the question in a little greater form. The Gemara in Chulin, that Samach Mabez, tells that Hashem desires our tefillah. He wants the tzaddikim's tefillah. That's why he created the Imaus. We're all barren. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and even Leah, who had a lot of children, Chazal suggests that she was barren. It says when Leah gave birth that Hashem opened up her womb. Now, why was she barren if she never, she had kids right away? What does it even mean to be barren if you have kids right away? It's an excellent question, not for now. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Imaos barren because he desires the tefillah of tzaddikim. Hari lo ish kel sheitzarich l'divrei shevach l'ashlim chesronu chas shalom. God is not a person who needs to have praise to feel validated. Elohu yisbarach shalem b'tachlis hashlemus. Hashem is perfect. What could any words and praise that people on this world give to Hashem? What could it possibly increase to Hashem? All the more so. That was Dari Mala. That was the angels. All the more so us in this world who die, who are finite, who are physical. How could we ever expect that our tefillahs are going to do anything to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So, we know there's a pasuk that says Hod v'hadar lefanav. Hod v'hadar. It's a very deep idea and a very important idea to understand better what the role of tefillah of Psukei D'Zimra is in our daily life and how it connects us to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a better way. The word Hod literally it means glory, but it also can mean echo. What that means is we express our love to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem echoes it back to us. What we do when we daven doesn't need us, but it allows quote unquote for a conversation or a shefa, we give to Hashem, which has him give right back to us as well. Hashem responds. The word hadar, by the way, hod v'hadar lefana, what does the word hadar mean? So it means glory also, it means beauty, splendor. But in Aramaic, hadar means to return or to respond. Hod v'hadar, echoing and responding. That's what's lefana. When we daven l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem echoes what we're saying right back to us afterwards. It's a reciprocal relationship. That's what a relationship is. It's a two-way street. Whenever you have people in the world, you have two people in the world, so the relationship is only as strong as the weaker person of the two. If you have a parent and a child, as much as the weaker one wants to spend time and get closer, is how close you're going to get. If you have a boy and a girl who are dating, whichever one is the weaker link will define how this relationship turns out in the end. The weaker link is very strong, wants to get married, then you'll get married in the end. If the weaker link wants to break up, then you're not going to get married in the end. Weaker link defines the relationship, and therefore when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are the weaker link. And therefore, we need to put in effort so Hashem can respond, hold the hadar, can echo and return those those feelings and that emotion right back to us. It says, Rishwab, Zeu Hodo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shekfi Masha Meshabchim Mahal Mekadosh Baruch Hu. As much as we praise and sing to Hashem, Kein Baha Hod. Then comes the echoing from Hashem, Shri's Baruch Hu, Sein Bechazar, Hashem gives right back to us. While Kein Ritzono Shem Nigalu Vish Bechub Nifaru, Hashem wants us to increase and to praise and to glorify Him more so He can give us back that Shefa Baruch Hu Atzlacha, that abundance of pleasure right back to Him afterwards. Hashem created the world in a beautiful cycle, meaning if you look in the food chain, the world is in a chain where everything feeds itself. It's plugged in the way when each part of it feeds different parts of society, and this animal, that animal, which eats that animal, then it gets back to the ground again, and then the cycle begins all over once again. It's a food chain, it's a cycle. Everything goes back into the system that it started from. And same thing with us and Hashem. Our tefillos bring the shefa that's there back down to us as well. We only cling to Hashem. Why do we cling to Hashem? Because we want to be able to receive the nourishment from Hashem, the spiritual kedusha from Hashem, like a mother nursing her child. This connection is you being close to the one who's showering with you things. Someone showers you, and you are on the receiving end of those as well. But we are closer to Hashem than a mother and a child would be. Why? Because the mother-child relationship is a one-way giving. The mother gives to the child, the mother nurses the child, the child is just a taker. And we get the opportunity now to be, not partners, the wrong word to use, but more similar than a mother-child. How? So we're also mashpia. If there's an echo, that means as much as I put in is what I get back from Hashem as well. So that means that my input and my involvement and my energy is what gives back to me, which means makes me also a mashpia. It makes me also an influencer on how this is going to turn out. I'm not only influenced by Hashem, I'm an influencer to receive back from Hashem. And that makes us, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that much closer than being a one-way relationship where Kadosh Baruch Hu gives and we just are receiving. We also get to give. By giving Hashem that praise and that glory, that allows us in turn to now be able to receive due to our efforts, and that creates the weaker link to get stronger. We, the weaker link, get stronger, and that's why we have tefillah. That's the goal of our davening. That's why we're trying to be mekasher ourselves to Hashem, so we're not going to be just a taker. We also become a mashpia, an influencer as well. With all of that as the background as to why we daven, what psuki the zimmer is, cutting out the fat, cutting away the wrong, the misdirected desires that we have, and trying to get to a place by the time we get the Birchas Krishma of being ready to dive into our Melech, Mekabel Omel Hushamayim properly, and to do that, to become Mashvim, and to allow ourselves to be also be influencers, not only influencees. That's where Pesukei the Zimra and Tefillah in general come in. Let's start with Baruch Sha'amar now for a little bit and analyze it. If you look in the Tefillah, we have 10 times, 10 different Lashonos of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Shevach is described in 10 different ways, 10 different examples of this Shevach. We say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shmo. Just to give this example, let's read the Siddur inside with you so you can see it yourself. So I'm sure you all know it for your daily prayers, daily tefillah. But the tefillah is as follows. Baruch Shemar V'Ayolam Baruch Hu. Blessed is the one, Shemar V'Ayolam, that said the world should be. Blessed is he. That's praise number one. Baruch Osem Bracious. Praise number two. The one who makes Bracious. We'll see what that means very soon. Who creates. Baruch Omer Yosef. Blesses the one. Number three. Who says and does. And Baruch Gozer Mekayim. Number four. The one blesses the one who is Gozer, who decrees, who Mekayim and fulfills. Number five. Baruch Merachim Al Haaretz. Blesses the one who has Rachman, mercy on the land. Baruch Merachim Al Abrios. Number six is the one who has Rachman onto his creations. Number seven. Baruch Meshalem Shachar Tov L'Reav. Blesses the one who repays Skar Tov to those who fear him. Number eight, Baruch Chai L'Avakam Netzach, blessed is the one who lives forever. Nine, Baruch Poded Matzil, the one who redeems and saves. And finally, number 10, Baruch Shemo. These are 10 different Lashonos of Shevach we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason why, Rishwab points out, we have 10 different types of the Lashon Ani Hashem. We see in the Torah, it's the word Ani Hashem. There's 10 different ways that we can understand what is Hashem telling us when he says, I am a God. We know Hashem is God. What's he expressing to us by saying that lashon? So we'll see very soon what that is. But I want to tell you one more interesting thing also, which is based upon this idea that we're trying to explain the word Ani Hashem, when it says in the Torah, Ani Hashem, that's what the goal of Baruch Shamar really is, to analyze all the different types of relationship we can have with Hashem and recognizing Hashem in the world. So that's why we hold our sittis, our front two sittis in our hands during Baruch Shamar. Why? Because there are 16 strings, there's eight in each corner. We have four folded in half, but there's eight because of that. So eight in each corner, which is 16. And there are five knots on each side, which make it 10 knots. I hold my first two front two sittis together, make 16 strings and 10 knots, which equals 26, which is the same gematria of the letter Yud and the word Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, Shem Hashem, which is the word Ani Hashem. When it says the word Ani Hashem in the Torah, it's the 26 gematria, 26 letter name. So here we are also holding the sittis in our hand, demonstrating that Baruch Shamar is us trying to understand better what Ani Hashem means, what Hashem is trying to tell us by saying Ani Hashem. And we praise Hashem for each of these attributes we're about to explain right now. Okay. Let's start with the first one. Baruch Shamar Ba'olam. Blessed the one who said and the world was. So Hashem is the Mehaveh. Hashem is the reason for everything existing from the beginning of Ma'aseh Bereishis. A mashal of this is, there's a mashal to explain how this works, is that imagine someone said a word. So when you say a word, before you say that word, it didn't exist. When the word is finished being said, it doesn't exist anymore. It's finished. It's done already. Hashem is Mehaveh. Everything that happens in the world, it happens because Hashem was Omer, Vayah, Shamar, Vayolav. He said it, and there was. That means that every time that it's here, it's because Hashem is still saying it. I'll read that idea inside. Just like a word, again, Shamar, Vayolav. Just like the word of saying Shamar, and now the world is, it only is because Hashem said it. When I say word, before the word was said, nothing was no word. After the word said nothing, there's no word. Which means that if there's a world right now happening, there's a world right now, that means Hashem is saying the word right now. He's Shamar, past tense, he said it, and that is how the world was created. Rak b'shas diburo. Kemechol metzius shenivrei shnitav al yedei mamar kodesh baruch hu. Reikol kiyuma talu ach rak b'diburo yisbarach. Anything in the world right now that exists is existing only because Hashem is Amar. That he said it should exist, and that is indeed why it does exist. Without that, it wouldn't be here. And therefore, the idea of Shamar Vayaulam is the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the reason behind everything. He's what makes everything in the world be here. And it says in the end, it says Baruch Hu in that same first praise, because Baruch Hu, we can't really understand him. Even though we say these words, he's out of our league. But he is blessed. You know, we want to say it in a more general way, just as we start off, that we shouldn't think that we're going to really understand God fully after we're finished with this these 10 parts of Baruch Shamar. But rather, we should appreciate the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the reason for everything being here, but still, we don't really understand fully, obviously, of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Then we say afterwards, Oseh Bereishis, Hashem is Baruch Oseh Bereishis. That means that the Ma'isa Bereishis Hashem did, he does every single moment. It doesn't say Asa. It said before, Omer Shamar Vayaulam. He said in past tense. That was a moment in time when he created the world. He did so through his statements, and that statement is what makes the world, everything here, be. That's a one-time thing. But Hashem is Oseh, in present tense, Bereishis. Hashem does that every moment in time, as I kind of alluded to earlier on. If he wouldn't say the word right now, it wouldn't be here right now either. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is currently giving the energies, again, like the word that I say, before I said it, it meant nothing. After I finished it, it's not here anymore. So therefore, if we are here through the word of Hashem, that means that Hashem is constantly uttering the word. If you are here right now, listen to what I'm saying, that means Hashem is uttering the word of your name to allow you to still be here. He's uttering the word of your ears to allow you to hear. He's uttering the words of my mouth right now to allow me to say it. Hashem is Oseh Bereishis present tense. That's number two. Number three, Hashem is Omer Veoseh. Hashem carries out what he says he's going to carry out. He says and he does. And that's really more catered to the tzaddikim. Hashem promises tzaddikim great things, and in the end, he provides them with those great things in the end. And he's also, conversely, number four, Gozer Mekayim. He decrees and fulfills that as well. That's more to the Rishayim. We see people in Rishayim who have good lives. Hashem will be gozer mekayim with that when the right time comes. Hashem will have his time in the end when he gives each person their just desserts. And therefore, Omer Vo says to tzaddikim, Hashem says he's going to, and he will. He's also gozer mekayim to the non-tzaddikim. And then merachem al aretz, in the fifth, halfway through our baruchs. If you look at the land, the earth that we live in, it's an unbelievable thing that it is exactly situated where it is, as far and as close to the sun as it is necessary. If it was closer to the sun, it would burn up. It wouldn't be able to have our life that we live. And if it was further away, it would be freezing and it wouldn't be able to function properly either. The atmosphere that we have, everything in the world, Hashem is merachem al aretz. Hashem has mercy that the land has exactly what it needs in order to function properly. Without it, if any difference here or there, up or down, right or left, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't be. And he's also merachim al abrios. Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this is a very important part. What does it mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu is merachim al abrios. Vel min ha'anoshi. It says in the pasuk, ha'meir la'aretz v'la'darim aleh abrachim. Hashem is meir to the land and darim aleh. Hashem is meir, he enlightens the land, and he also to those who are dar, who live in the land, meaning us and his creations, berachim. About us, about mankind, it talks about the darim aleh, the ones who dwell in the world. Shebritzoni is barach bar bria achas. Sheesh la koach lisnagei the ritzono is an unbelievable line, Rav Schwab says. It's Hashem's wish. He created one bria, only one bria that has the ability to go against him. Sheesh la koach lisnagei the ritzono. There's one creation in the world that was created with the potential to destroy everything God wants in the world. One creation. That's us. Because Hashem gave us b'chira chashis, leitiv o leharshia kvi chetza, to do good, or God forbid, to be a rasha, as we see fit. It's very possible a person will be desiring things and follow his desires inappropriately. So we need rachman from Hashem. Hashem created us. We are so dangerous to the world. We are the only creation that is out there that Hashem, quote unquote, runs the risk of having everything you put in place to be ruined by us. And therefore, as we quoted earlier, Hashem is full of rachman towards us, because how often do we, in fact, mess things up? How often do we, in fact, not pull our weight? Often enough. And therefore, Hashem does birachmim. He enlightens us and he showers us with things. Because really, we are the biggest threat to the world running properly. And yet Hashem is patient and gives us that space that we need to thrive anyways. Hashem is mishalim schar, number 7. Schar tov li re'av. Hashem gives great schar to those who fear him. And this over here, what does great schar mean? It doesn't mean a lot of money. Doesn't even mean health. Those are both very important things. But it means Olam Haba. And why is that considered Schar Tov more than anything I described just now? The reason why is because Olam Haba is something that is eternal. Says Rav Schwab, Umat Nas Hashem Dvar Nitzchihi. To be close to Hashem and to get Schar Tov will be something that is eternal. L'chein Tchuna B'Shem Tov. It was called Tov. So the way they have to klal. It's called Tov because things that are eternal don't ever get ruined. Rakia Haschar Kayam La'ad. It will be forever. Since the goal of mitzvah, it connects us to Hashem, mitzvahs connect us to God, and therefore the schar that we get is connecting to Hashem. And if Hashem is eternal and we connect to eternality, then we become that piece of us that connected becomes eternal as well. That's the schar tov. Schar tov is not money, nor is it health. They both will be very helpful and very nice. Schar tov is the ultimate connection to nitzchias, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his eternity. Hashem is chai la'ad v'kam l'netzach. Hashem is alive la'ad forever, and Kayam Netzach as well. The shame of Hashem is Yud and He and Vav and He. It's not Yihyeh. Yihyeh implies something that might be in the future. Hashem, you know, in the future will provide, but it's not. It's Yud and He and Vav and He, because that makes it present tense also. Taya Hoveh V'Yihyeh. Hashem was, is, and will always be. Chai la'ad v'kayam Netzach. He is eternal. Hashem's Podel Matzil, the number 9 bracha. Which means Hashem saves us from very, very difficult times. And that means both past tense difficult times, and we know He will save us, like right now in our current state we're in with Corona and everything going on, Hashem will save us from this time as well. And there's a hope for the ultimate Geula, which hopefully, again, is around the corner. And all signs are pointing to that coming around the corner very soon, which is Hashem. That Hashem was Podel Matzil us, the eternal Geula coming around. And finally, Baruch Shemo. Baruch Shemo, which means after we describe everything we've described up till now, which again, I'll just remind you what it is. Hashem created the world, everything that is here is because He said so. And He says so every single moment in time. And He gives the tzaddikim what they will deserve, and He gives the Rishonim what they will deserve. And Hashem is merachim on the land in a way that's perfectly situated where everything it needs, it's exactly where it has to be. It's merachim on us. You know, He created us, so we are the threat to the functioning of the world properly. Hashem has mercy on us anyways. Hashem gives us the ultimate schar tov, which is the only nitzchios, which is the connection to His eternality by doing mitzvahs. And Hashem is hayahu v'aviyah, He's chai la'ad v'kam l'netzach, He's podeh u'matzel. Then we end off with Baruch Shemo. Blessed is the name. Now, why are we saying that? We describe so many things about Hashem. It seems to be anticlimactic. It's not descriptive anymore. Just blesses his name. So it's true. It's not descriptive anymore. It's not anticlimactic either. It's a reality check. As much as we describe Hashem in all these unbelievable terminologies, and as much as we can relate to and appreciate everything Hashem does for us and to us, at the end of the day, we just say Baruch Shemo because we can't really understand him fully besides that. He's a name to us. He's our name. It's his name. Hashem, it's the capital H. His name. We don't know him. We don't fully understand him. We appreciate whatever he lets us understand about him. We appreciate it. But at the end of the day, it's still Shemo. I can't even say his name. Just blessed his name. Because we know we live in a world where we are limited in what we can see. Maybe our Shema sees more, but our goof definitely can't. And certainly our eyes don't. And things that should be so easy for us to comprehend and understand, we scratch our heads often. Because Baruch Shemo, we know we're not able to see God in all of his glory. And that's due to our current state of existence, the physical state we're in right now. But our Shemas, as we mentioned beforehand, we want to give the praise to Hashem. So we get the Hod V'Hadar back, we get the echoing of Hashem back to us again. Because that is really the connection we have with Hashem, is this symbiotic relationship when we, quote-unquote, give Hashem the praises that he so deserves. And even that we can't do justice. In turn, he gives us sustenance right back at us. We start Baruch Shemar, and we're halfway through right now about, we're going to stop here, we're going to continue tomorrow and go on. But we started our Psukei Dezimra, cutting away the things that we should not be distracted about, putting things in perspective. Knowing who we're supposed to really be. So when we get to the next stages of tefillah, we're able to be the state of Kedusha we're supposed to have, to accept Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim in the most full way possible.